We're back at Tell Me, and it's the weekend wrap-up. This is Ruthie here in the Space Coast area, and Dina in
Miami Beach.
Dina, I was thinking about that constant bullying. What do you have to say about that?
It's all around us. A few years ago, bullying was a hot topic, and we decided to investigate what was really going on. So we went into the community and we worked with people of all ages, not just young people, and discovered that bullying has three components. You have the bully, you have the victim, and then you have the people who stand around and watch, who are probably the most dangerous of all. The alpha dog, the beta dog, the voyeurs, and the people who just really get off on watching other people be mean.
The Bravo franchise, Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of Miami, of New York City, of New Jersey, they were instructed to make it more exciting by treating each other poorly and being downright mean to one another, which they did. So we are taking a horrible behavior of bullying and being obnoxious, insulting, and behaving in as low a class a way as one possibly can. And we're using that as American entertainment.
Let's take a moment to listen to Luther Vandross. Here he is in A House Is Not a Home.
Keep us apart. Gonna be in love with me. I want you and need you to be, yeah, still in love with me. Say you're gonna be in love with me. It's driving me crazy to think that my baby. Are you gonna be, say you're gonna be, are you gonna be, are you gonna be, are you gonna be, say you're gonna be? Well, 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 still in love, so in love, still in love with you. Are you gonna be, say that you're gonna be?
Okay, let's get back to this week's wrap-up with Dina Stewart from Alive on South Beach, which is one of the shows on syndicatednews.net, from South Beach, Miami, and Ruthie from the Space Coast. The conversation's very important. We're talking about bullying, not just in person, but on television and on the internet. My worry about that is that while these fathers and mothers are working and these kids are left to their own devices on the TV, they sometimes spend hours being entertained by people pummeling each other. This next song is The Island by Ivan Lins. He's from Brazil. And when he plays the song, he calls it, of course, in Portuguese, Começar de Novo, which is starting anew. And the person that most impressed him with the richness of her voice, and historically who interpreted his music best, was Simone Bittencourt de Oliveira, I think her name was. And here we go. The Island. This one is sung by Barbara Streisand. Thank you. we return to bullying on television. They even did one where you were either married to a doctor or you were a doctor. And wouldn't you know it, they wound up grabbing each other's hair and throwing each other in the pool. I was watching one as I was turning the channel the other day, and one character was saying to another character, yeah, and not only am I taking your man, I'm taking your clothing and your money too. And it was basically a robbery of everything that mattered to this one person. The other one was going to out and out take it. And I see the same behavior when I see the little kids fighting on the bus.
Bullying has been going on forever. It's basically a power play, and you will always have voyeurs because there's a very, very large segment of the audience who watch what goes on. Everybody has a mean gene, but we're trained or we are taught that you don't act out on that mean gene. You keep it under wraps and you act civilly. However, when you have a person or a group of people who take over and start manipulating or start beating up on or start using vocabulary that's inappropriate and degrading other people, the audience wants the people to become nasty. And the nastier and the meaner they become, the more into it they get, and that's what sells.
And also intrusions are being used as entertainment. I listen to TV hosts talk to their guests, and they're bringing up topics that are so ridiculously personal and intimate. I wonder who's running the world if they think that that's entertainment.
Well, the guests also, that's what they want out there. They're the ones that tweet the most personal, intimate details of their lives.
I was listening to a director talk about how everything that's raunchy, that's really obnoxious and vulgar about Miley Cyrus's behavior is absolutely engineered. And she's taking a page out of the Kardashian playbook and doing it well because it's working, working, working.
I remember when Madonna did her book, Dare.
She was throwing herself at Warren Beatty, I think it was.
It's been done before. Miley Cyrus isn't the first one. And basically, she's shedding her Hannah Montana innocent image.
That's been shed for some time now.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell of love no one could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you. I can live a lie running for my life. I will always want you.
just walked away, I will always want you.
Oh, another thing I wanted to talk about, Miriam Carey.
Yeah.
Throwing her car at an entranceway at the White House, and her family is upset because rather than talk her out of the car, they shot her dead. I recognize that she had the postpartum blues and her mental condition. I recognize all of that. But there comes a point where when you take your car and you ram it into the White House, that's not the local candy store or a five and dime. That's the White House. They're going to shoot you. That's going to happen.
Well, I learned something very interesting in regard to that.
Tell me.
Why didn't they shoot out the tires first to prevent her from going any further?
And I also want to let you know that John McEwen, our CEO, who was one of the founders of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, is going to be playing at the Bamboo Room in Lake Worth, Florida. He's returning. He's played there before, and he's returning with Matt Cartsonis. Doors open at 7, and John wants me to tell you, Matt's one of the finest singers he knows. He sings like he's from old Kentucky. He sings high bluegrass, that lonesome sound. He's got a rock and roll sensibility. He's a funny guy with some funny songs, he says. I don't know. I haven't heard him. Eduardo heard him in Little Rock, I believe it was. In any case, you may have seen Matt with Warren Zevon. He played with him for the last 6 years. They were part of a group called the Austin Lounge Lizards, or the group Brindle. You might know that group. You can find him at mattcartsonis.com, mattcartsonis.com. Now, in 2009, Matt joined Steve Martin to perform on Saturday Night Live. They were on Letterman and American Idol and The Ellen Show. They played music from Steve's Grammy-winning album, The Crow, for being the best bluegrass album of 2009. You know who won the Grammy? John McEwen, not Steve Martin. The producer was John McEwen. Matt is also featured on John's Round Trip album, and he's worked with him on several film score projects in the past few years. And Matt's acrobatic vocals and amiable stage presence endears him to audiences wherever he plays. Now that's Saturday, October 19th at 9 p.m., remember, John McEwen is one of the founding members of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. They established that band in the summer of 1966. They were the first American band to go to Russia. John's a multi-instrumentalist. He's a multi-Grammy winner. And he's gone into all sorts of musical genres in different formats, including television, production, film scoring, and all sorts of unusual award-winning albums. He plays bluegrass. Now they call the bluegrass music, they call it Americana. And that's how John McEwen has established a name in acoustic music. Now, he and Steve Martin grew up a few houses from each other. As teenagers, they worked in the magic shop in Disney. And it was John McEwen, our CEO, who taught Steve Martin how to play the banjo. And in 2010, it was John McEwen that won a Grammy Award for the production of Steve Martin's CD called The Crow. And here's Mr. Bojangles by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. Worn out shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants. He did the old soft shoe. He jumped so high. Jump so high, and any lie that touched down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans, I was down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age. Yet he spoke right out. Talked of life. He napped quick to heels and still. Well, he said his name,
Bojangles and his Danzig. Across himself, grabbed his pants and spread his hands for a jump so high.
Is going to tell us the truth behind why you can't shoot out tires like you watch in the movies. In real life, you can't do that. It doesn't work. But Dina has the reason why. Listen carefully.
Apparently, you can't do that. The rubber and the tires are made so that they repel the bullets. So it really isn't a realistic solution.
Oh, everyone thought they were going to stop and talk to her, get a psychologist. Let's find out what her feelings are. Let's see what she's going through. And none of that's going to happen. This is the White House. We don't have to like or be proponents of the president or not. It doesn't matter. If someone's going to ram their car into the White House, I would like them to be stopped some way. I'd like that car to be stopped some way.
Yeah, was that there was a one-year-old child?
She put that child in the car. When you're dealing with someone who's suffering from mental illness, but there again, she didn't ram her car into the department store. She rammed it into the White House. And in any country in the world, they wouldn't have let it go that far. They would have killed her immediately.
Well, if they suspected it was a terrorist kind of situation, or they didn't know what was going on.
Now, we have a show called Cuban with a Twist. The hostess is Jennifer Betances, who is the sister of Armando Christian Perez, whose stage name is Pitbull. Armando Christian has performed with Tim McGraw, and that is a fabulous combination. They actually sing separately, and they sing together. Listen to this. It's wonderful. You'll really like it.
To me, just to be here is an honor.
Everybody here for Tim McGraw tonight, put your hands in.
And the reason Tim McGraw and Armando Christian Perez singing together is so important to me is because Tim McGraw has also shared a stage with John McEwen.
I wanted to ask you about restaurants. Anything new?
Books and Books is changing their menu.
Don't they have a new chef?
They do. His name is Javier, and we're going to be speaking with him probably next week as well.
In the Alive on South Beach video?
We have a couple of events that we went to. We went to some really fascinating mayoral candidate debates.
Tell
that's
me.
Just totally, totally off the wall. It's Miami Beach, and anything can happen down here. So it's up in the air. We'll see what happens, and we're going to some more debates.
So is that a political nod towards his candidacy?
I'm not sure if it's a nod or just a shrug of the shoulders. What else is going to happen? I really don't know. It's funny.
I had two politicians call me to ask what the procedure was for getting on syndicated news, and I was impressed that now apparently they've heard us talking about politics. And when it comes to Miami Beach, you're well known on that beach. You're well known on Lincoln Road.
Yeah, we get around.
The public knows Alive on South Beach on syndicated news, Miami Beach turf. The Stewarts handle all of Miami Beach. So that's why they're still doing it and so well, too.
Well, thank you.
And if you want to get on Alive on South Beach, call up the Stewarts. You have to do it through them. We don't make determinations on the Alive on South Beach show. The Stewarts do. And they're always looking for talent, aren't you?
We welcome your calls.
And if people are running, can I send them to you if they're running for office?
Please, please do.
How many years ago this show began, and now people are waiting to see if their restaurant is going to be included, or if their hotel is going to be mentioned, or if their candidacy is going to be mentioned. If you want to be on the Alive on South Beach show, you've got to call
305-534-8807.
And to close the show today, we're going to have a recording, because it's so appropriate, from Lucille Ball interviewing Doris Day. Can you imagine? And it's appropriate, I feel, because there is so much work to be done when you're dealing with the internet, and so much of what we know as radio and television is actually moving to the internet. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. Our vice president of marketing is Cassandra Arnaz. She is Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz's granddaughter. I would like to play this interview as a tribute to Cassie, because Cassie is working in radio now and sharing her ideas with us, and we love it. We love it here at Syndicated News. And another tidbit I want to share with you is that the trailer that Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz used in pictures and eventually bought is now owned by John McEwen's son, also a performer, Jonathan McEwen. That's the same trailer. And here's Lucille Ball interviewing Doris Day for Lucy's radio show, which I thought was just charming. And I'm playing this as my celebration to our Vice President of Marketing, Cassie Cassandra Arnaz. Welcome to Syndicated News. I love everything you do, and I love your ideas.
Hi, this is Lucy, and I am out at 20th Century Fox Studios visiting on the set of the new Doris Day picture. And the Do Not Disturb sign on the door is not a warning. It is the title of the picture, and what a wonderful cast. Starring with Doris Day is Rod Taylor, Sergio Fantoni, and Hermione Baddeley. But right now, believe it or not, I am sitting with Doris in her dressing room. Doris, thank you very much for letting me come over today.
I'm so glad to see you, Lucy.
I'm nervous.
Are you?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I really am.
I think because you're going to New York and everything.
No, I'm nervous because it's been very difficult to catch up with you. You're even busier than I am.
No, I'm not.
No?
No, I'm not. But you know how it is. You know, the schedules are so tight and it's rough. I love seeing you.
I've got to say right now that I think the industry owes you such a vote of thanks, and the gentleman producer who has produced quite a number of your pictures, I don't know that he's producing this one.
Marty?
Ross Hunter Marty.
Yeah.
Both of them. Your husband Marty and Ross Hunter for bringing back the wonderful, beautiful pictures that they did. I'm just so
sweet.
Thrilled because it's been a long time since anyone was allowed to really escape in a theater and dream a little and see some beauty
and pretty
sets and and not have to be weighted down with the worries of the world and the psychiatric messes and all that.
There's enough problems, right?
There certainly are, and all the big, beautiful, and glamorous things that you're doing, I think, are so necessary, and I hope Do Not Disturb is going to be the same type of picture.
It is, and oh, my clothes are fabulous.
Who did your clothes?
Ray Agian.
Oh,
do you know
Ray? Oh, I adore it.
He's fabulous. He really
is. I always want to keep everything that he makes for me.
Oh, well, my things are just divine. Really.
He's the living end.
I love working with him, too. I think he's going to be tremendous.
Give him my love.
I will.
Are your clothes contemporary? Are they very far out or just?
No, not too.
And you don't have any, you and hats. You never wear a hat in private life, do you?
I do.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
I've never seen you in.
I don't wear frilly, fancy.
Only on the screen. I see you in the most fabulous, wonderful things.
Well, you know, when you wear a suit, a hat seems to sort of finish the whole thing.
Absolutely. Your suits and your coats that you wear demand hats.
I think
so. But still, in private, I never wear a hat.
Well, in California, you feel pretty silly. You know, you put
that's
a hat
I mean.
On, everybody says, where are you going?
Yeah, you can't wear that to Chasen's, you know. And
it just isn't done out here much.
No.
You feel too
but
dressed up.
But you do
up.
It?
I wear sporty hats and sometimes a very simple hat with a suit. I like that.
How do you keep your wonderful figure? Is it diet or hard work or what?
Or well, I've gained a little. I was terribly thin on my, not my last picture, but the one before that, Move Over, Darling.
You haven't gained too much.
Oh, golly, I was down to about 110, which is very light for me because I'm almost 5'7".
You have to put on enough to keep you going. You work so hard.
That's right.
But do you have to diet ever or just to gain weight?
Well, I have to give up ice cream. You know,
oh, that's
I
right.
can't have it every night.
You're an ice cream buff.
I can't have a bowl every night.
You really like that?
Oh, I adore it with pretzels. I mean, it's not bad enough alone. I have to eat it with pretzels.
Salt and sugar you like together.
Oh, I do.
Do you look great today?
Do I?
Yes, you look excited and pleased with what you're doing. And
well,
I
didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but I know when you're on a picture, it's so important to like what you're doing to get a better performance and everything, and you look happy with your surroundings. I hope I'm right.
Well, you are to a point, but today it so happens that it's rather hectic because we're redoing a scene, and you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
The writers come down and they rewrite 2 or 3 pages and they hand you all the new dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go in and do it in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but that's the excitement of it. You're up to it. Sometimes I'm not, though. I take quite a bit of rehearsal.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
oh,
I
can't stand it.
Well, I don't like a lot of takes, but I like the rehearsal. I like to know what I'm really going to do and where I'm supposed to be before I go in and do it.
Isn't
so
that funny?
I love the rehearsals, the creating of it.
Isn't that interesting? It's so odd the way everyone works, you know, so differently. Because I don't, I would like to just shoot the rehearsal.
Does it come that quickly to you, the perfection?
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad or what. You know, I just feel that everything has to be spontaneous. I feel better if it is.
Yes, but I get my spontaneous performances out of knowing exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I don't grasp always immediately.
You look like you do.
No,
don't tell me that.
I don't like the rehearsals. I don't care if the show ever goes on, but I love the rehearsals.
When I say to you that it doesn't look rehearsed, that's the greatest compliment that I could give you.
Yes.
And it doesn't. What you do does not look rehearsed.
Don't
it looks like it's right now. It just happened.
Well, that's...
And if you can get that...
I suppose it goes from... working with so many props, and you have to work with an awful lot of props, and all of you, and you handle them beautifully. I meant to throw that in next time I saw you, because this is an art. And the mastery of the props takes me time.
Well,
it's nothing else, not just learning the lines.
But I don't work with as many props as you do.
Well, not as many, but I mean, you handle what you do have to handle, you handle well.
Well, they don't give me much trouble, I must say.
And there are a lot of people that can't touch it.
Really?
They can't even pick up a spoon or a cup and a saucer or work in the kitchen. See, I've seen you do domestic things that are natural and wonderful, and, well, you're too much anyway. You're just
very sweet. I appreciate that, but, well, anyway, you know how I feel about you, and we don't want to get
touched. How do you feel about me, honey?
I already told you.
Here is your handsome husband, Marty.
Hi there.
Hi, Marty.
He's going to give you a big fat kiss.
Thank you, darling. Nice to see you. We've had a lot of girl talk going on here, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Do you have to go back on the set right now, Doris?
Oh, you see what I mean?
Oh, dear.
Just between us, there's panic going on.
Oh, I know. All right. All right. Just tell me one thing. Well, a quick answer. What do you enjoy most about your success?
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Lucy. What do I enjoy most about my success?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's so hard to answer because I enjoyed myself before.
That's a very good answer. Thank you, darling. That is a wonderful answer. I have been talking to the one and only Doris Day. I get a little misty-eyed when I'm with Doris. I'm really in awe of Doris Day. I adore her. I have loved being out here with you today, Doris. Goodbye and God bless.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Lucy. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much. I'll see you again tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Now we come back to modern day radio, where Armando Christian Perez, known as Pitbull, introduces Keisha singing Timber. It's a hot, hot new number. And here it is.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. Remember, I'll be the one you won't forget. Ooh, 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 ooh.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This bigger than boys, the diggity dog. I have them like Miley Cyrus, clothes on, working in their bras and thongs. Face down, booty up.
Timber.
Live on South Beach for syndicatednews.net.